would be great. It's great to be with you, and thanks to everyone that's been part of the service so far this morning. We've been working our way through Exodus, through the Get Us Out of Here series, and I know today there are some more announcements coming down from our government about, for all of those watching outside of Victoria, don't worry about it, but obviously Victoria has had one of the biggest lockdowns of the world, really, and the exciting thing is that we've had, what is it, Simon? Double donut days. They weren't keto donuts either. They were just normal donuts. But we've had double donut days, and everybody's done really, really well to protect themselves and to protect others. So thank you to all of you who are making the effort. Yes, we are socially distanced in here, and we have our masks on and all of that kind of thing. But it's been really an interesting time to be teaching through this series and experiencing a little bit of restriction in the way that we operate, in the way that we feel about our environment around us as we teach through this series. And the title that we've given today's message is Never Again. There's this moment we're about to witness where Moses seems to draw a line in the sand, and his boldness is up to 11, and his fear of God is up to 11, and his fearlessness of man is up to 11, and he's standing there ready to deliver the word that he has been asked to deliver. And this is one of the toughest things he has to do, but it's an incredible moment that we're about to witness. And it just gave me that picture of what it is to draw a line. What is it that you would draw a line in the sand over? What is it that you would say, there but not there, this far but not that far, I will do this but not that? What is it that you would draw a line in the sand over? And for the Christian person who's chasing after the things of God, you're probably thinking about some of the moral issues in your life, trying to stamp sin out of your life, all that sort of thing, trying to live righteous and live holy and live well. But sometimes it's about the obedience to God, which is beyond those basic sort of renewal moments, those risk moments, those faith moments, where you will stand there and hold the line of faith or hold the line of the authority that God has given you. And yes, if you're a child of God, you have an authority that heaven has blessed you with to actually stand strong in the day of trial. And so it got me thinking about, you know, the lines that we draw. And we start very early, don't we? Anyone that had a brother or a sister or a sibling in the back of the car, and mum and dad put you in the back of the car and you were seated beside each other and you said, there is the line. There is the line. This is my bottle of water. It's going there. And your brother or sister would just be like, And you'd be like, What happens next? What happens next? That's it, did it, a thing. You too. Don't, you know, the dad lines. Anyone have one of those parent lines? Don't make me come back there. Don't make me turn around. Don't make me reach back there. You know, I mean, people think mobile phones are distracting. No, children in the back seat are distracting. The lines. We do it, you know, as a kid, you do it in the bedroom. And, you know, that's my side of the room. You ever, anybody share a room with a sibling as a child and actually draw a physical line down? I've got Anissa Croxon at the back of the room here who's putting her hand up for all of these. So I just want to pray for the Croxon family right now for some forgiveness of childhood trauma. But who did that? This is my side. Your toy's there. It's territorial, right? Everything's about territory. Everything's about possession. And that's the way we're wired. And basically what we see is Moses keeps stepping up into the arena that Pharaoh thinks he owns. Pharaoh believes that the people of Israel are his possession. And Moses believes he has been anointed to bring a message that says, no, they are not your possession. They are God's possession, and you will let them go. Remember in Exodus 3, all Moses and Aaron were asking for was a three-day journey into the desert so that they could worship, so that they could go back and bring adoration to their God, the great I Am. Remember, Pharaoh was the one that was confused. He was saying, I am God. And Moses was saying, no, God is I Am. He was the one that was confused. And there's this territorial push and pull. And it's all about that line. No, they're mine. No, they're not yours, Pharaoh. But Moses isn't saying they're mine. Moses is attributing authority and possession to God. And that's our job in our lives. The enemy doesn't have a hold on you. He doesn't have a foothold. If you've given your life to Christ, you are owned and loved and held in precious care by your heavenly Father, the great I Am. There's no authority on this earth that can own you, that can possess you in the way that your heavenly Father possesses you, owns you, loves you. And that's all about where your worship goes. You know, worship is this very, very simple. The simplest explanation of worship is that which you value the highest. What is it that you value the most? And if it's anything other than loving God, then your worship and your adoration is slightly off kilter. But I'm telling you, if your worship and your adoration is focused there, then the authority is heaven's to guide your life. Pharaoh is saying, you can't have them, they're mine. Moses is saying, yes. Nah, you got nothing, Pharaoh. You got nothing. The great I am is going to live it. Remember, Exodus 3 says this from I was in Ephesians. I can read Ephesians later if you like. But Exodus 3 and verse 8, where is it? Oh my goodness. I'm using a different Bible. I forgot my normal Bible. So here we go. We'll find it now. Here it is. Exodus 3:18. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the desert and offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders, and I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. He will. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed towards this people so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Moses is standing up knowing the promise of God is in place. The promise of God is in place and it will come to pass because he's the God of the yes and amen. When he says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. So basically, you know, Moses and Aaron go to the elders and the elders back them in. Pharaoh stands there in his ego and his wise men back him in. And so you've got this great divide between ego and humility. Remember, ego and humility both need backers. You do both of those things in community and we keep each other in check. And that's why somehow, you know, we've done our best to stay together in community during this COVID time because we keep each other in check and we inspire one another to keep living in that place of humility. In fact, Deuteronomy says that Moses was the most humble man that ever walked the earth. We're also pretty sure that Moses wrote those words. So I don't know. But either way, we're not talking about an arrogant man. We're talking about a man who has been molded through his life's journey and has stepped up into this place at the age of 80 and stood before the most powerful king on earth and said, that slave labor force that is making your economy run, that slave labor force which is making you feel more like a god, that slave labor force that if you let them go, you will feel defeated, you will feel that your authority has been taken, undermined, that's like, I'm taking them. God is possessing them again. They are not your possession. You have no authority. The great I am is telling you, let my people go, and the promise says you will let them go. A mighty hand will compel you. We've been through a number of moments in coming up to this place in chapter 11 where there's been plagues, there's been so many things go on, but Pharaoh's ego has not been broken down to the point of actual humility. He's been broken, but he hasn't humbled himself yet. Remember, confession is not the same as repentance. Several occasions he has confessed to sin and he said to Moses and Aaron, would you pray to your God and get him to take this burden off of us? The river was turned to blood and frogs came out and then they died and then flies came and then gnats came and then sand came and then darkness that fell on the earth for 3 days and locusts covered the ground. I mean, this guy has held his ground because he said, no, I drew a line. Because my culture told me that I am God. And so I can't afford to step back from that line, even though a mighty hand is compelling me, because that would mean I'm not who I think I am. Hello? Moses stands up and delivers this message. Now remember, at the end of chapter 10, we see Moses say, you will not see me again. Pharaoh says, get lost, I don't want to see you again. And he says, you will not see me again. But even Moses is having to go back on his word here because God says, no, I've got one more thing for you to deliver. I've got one more message for you to deliver. At this point, Moses is 80, Aaron is 83. What gives Moses the courage to do what he's doing? Now, the temptation is to look at these narratives and go, oh, you know, they were superheroes of the faith. Somehow they had some special anointing that's not available to you and me. There was something about Moses. Maybe he was bigger and stronger and bolder. And I don't know, that staff he had, that was a pretty magic stick. If I had a magic stick like his magic stick, then I could do what God has asked me to do. No. Moses has grown through trial and torment. Do you know at the age of three, he was supposed to be dead. At the age of 3 months, he was supposed to be dead. But his mother hid him for 3 months and then put him in a basket. And we know the story from Exodus 2:2. He should have died because the Hebrew children were supposed to be killed if they were boys. That was the Pharaoh's edict. But we know that the midwives wouldn't do it. We know that they feared the God of Israel, and so they wouldn't do it. God was gracious. Moses survived. That way, we don't know how Aaron survived, but he survived too. And two men of the line of Levi, the priestly line, survived. At the age of 40, he goes out and he sees an Egyptian beating up on an Israelite, and his heart gets messed with and he gets angry, and his immaturity, he misuses his authority and he kills the Egyptian. What happens next? Pharaoh in Exodus 2:15 tries to kill Moses. Moses flees to Midian. At the age of 80, he's walking through the desert with Zipporah, his wife, and his son. And Exodus 4:24 says that God met him there and was going to kill him. My friends, in Exodus chapter 11, when Moses stands before Pharaoh and delivers with great authority and conviction and fearlessness these messages from the Most High God, it's not because he was some magical superhero, super spiritual person. It's because he had been taught lesson after lesson after lesson after lesson. It's because he had let go of his life and let go of his life and let go of his life that he had gained life. That he stood in that place of going, I will stand in the gap for the whole nation. I will risk my life. I will risk my reputation. Remember when he first goes to Pharaoh and he says, let my people go, Pharaoh doubles down and makes the people make bricks without straw. The first time he goes in the authority that he's been given to deliver this message to Pharaoh of let my people go, Pharaoh doubles down and Israel's life gets worse because of what Moses and Aaron have done. Leadership in this way is not that straightforward. Leadership doesn't come with it with a straight line and you know, clean roads and no roadblocks. But we know that when we're being shaped and when we're being driven and when we're being led in the things of God, that the roadblocks will be removed not by us, but by a mighty hand that compels, right? God will make a way. That's what he says over and over again. That's his promise to us. During this season, we have been locked down, but God has made a way. Every single time that we've been messed around online and our things haven't worked, we've found a way. Because we believe that getting the word of God to the people is the best thing we can do with our lives. Singing worship, bringing adoration, bringing our prayers to the Most High God. These things are central to who we are as people. We are not just minds and bodies, we are souls and spirits. And we need to bring our adoration to the King of Kings. Moses had been shaped on three occasions. He should have lost his life and he didn't. And he stands there with no fear for his own life. Standing in his conviction and his faith, Moses draws the line. Would you follow along with me? Let's grab Exodus chapter 11. I'm reading from the NIV, but you can read from whatever translation you've got. It'll say the same thing. But it says, now the Lord had said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. And after that, he will let you go from here. And when he does, he will drive you out completely. You'll be gone. Drive you out completely. Tell the people that men and women alike are to ask their neighbors for articles of silver and gold. The Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and Moses himself was highly regarded in Egypt by Pharaoh's officials and the people. Moses had gained the respect of Pharaoh's officials, of the Egyptians, of the Israelites, and that promise from Exodus chapter 3 that we'll actually see play out in the next chapter, in chapter 12, we'll see it play out, is reminded to him here. I want you to prepare for what's going to happen next. There's some preparation that's going on right now. And he's saying to the people, go and ask your neighbors for articles of silver and gold because we're getting out of here. What faith? And what faith are the people to actually act? They've got no reason to believe they're getting out of there. But Moses is now speaking with a different authority, and they've seen the hand of God compel Pharaoh a lot. So the trust is being built and the whole culture is getting ready to move. Something is about to happen. So Moses, this is verse 4, said, this is what the Lord says about midnight, I will go through Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the firstborn son of the slave girl who is at her handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. How on earth do you read something like that and understand that there is a just God who is also gracious and full of mercy? This is one of the most complicated elements that we have when it comes to thinking of God. And the problem that we have is we think God is more human than God sometimes. The justice of God is not the justice of man. And what we need to understand is we are to trust God in His authority to bring justice, to bring peace. It's not as neat and tidy as we would like. It's not as lovely and sweet as we would like. It's not all baby Jesus, blessed, meek, and mild, is it? Heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. This experience that we're having, remember last week we said, you don't get to escape being human just because you know the healer. This land is about to suffer because of the stubbornness of a man. Verse 6, there will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again. Never again will you hear weeping like this. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at a man or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. The Israelites were in Goshen. Goshen didn't suffer any of these plagues. Verse 8, all these officials of yours, Pharaoh, will come to me, bowing down before me and saying, go, you and all your people who follow you, after that I will leave. And then Moses, hot with anger, left Pharaoh. Ephesians 4 says, be angry, but do not sin. Be angry, but do not sin. What does it mean by that? Well, essentially, anger is a part of the human experience. So is pain and suffering and all of those kinds of things. You don't get to escape any of those things. And it's okay to be angry for the right things. You can actually be angry and not sin. At this point, Pharaoh has doubled down so much that he is willing to let people die from the palace to the poorest. He's willing to let people die so that he doesn't have to back down from the line that he has drawn. Because his ego is in the way. And his ego has been backed up for a long time, by the by. He just won't back down. And we're about to see sorrow, we're about to hear sorrow that we've never heard before. And Moses is angry. Why is he angry? He's angry because he cannot believe the lack of care, the lack of concern, the lack of change, the lack of growth. What on earth is going on? Moses himself has gone through a process of being almost dead a few times, but growing and knowing the grace of God. He's standing there as a witness to the goodness of God. And Pharaoh's ignoring all of it. But God's mighty hand will compel him, because remember, Pharaoh started with, I am God. And Moses kept reminding him, no, God is I am. And Moses was hot with anger. And that really was the last time that they got to hang out together. There are some really challenging images here. We don't mess around with the scriptures, and we take them as written. And we understand that the human experience was devastating at this point. But we also know that this set up a story that keeps on going in us. That the promise made to Israel, to the people of God, continues through to us now, and we get to take part in that. We need to lean into our learning. Remember, lean into your learning. You're going to lean somewhere. You're going to either lean towards your addictions or your adoration. Worship is that which is your heart is enamored by. So the question is, what's your heart enamored by? For Pharaoh, his heart was enamored by, you know, himself. For Moses had seen God move over and over and over again, and he'd seen breakthroughs, and he'd seen change, and he'd seen growth in his story. And he kept stepping up and stepping up and stepping up. This morning, I think the challenge that I want to bring to us is a simple one. Moses was saying, we are going on this journey. We are about to start a new journey, and Pharaoh, there's nothing you can do to stop it. There's nothing you can do to stop the journey that the people of God are about to go on. There's nothing that you can do to stop us going to worship, but not only that, stop us going to begin to start a new life. A new life of worship, a new life of growth, a new life of seeing the people of God released into their destiny. A destiny that has been prophesied to them in ages past. It's a beautiful thing. Do you know what? You're part of that promise. You, a Christian, you're part of that promise. You get to stand in this promise as well. So my question to you is, what are you going to say to the enemy today? Are you going to say, please just leave me alone? Or are you going to stand in the authority and say, you don't get to stand in the way of my destiny, in the way of my promise, in the way of what God has for me. You don't get to stand here and mess with my family. You don't get to stand there and mess with my church. You don't get to stop me from believing and knowing that I am anointed because God has blessed me, because I have invited Christ to lead my life, because the Holy Spirit is in me, because the light has come and the darkness has not understood it and has overcome it, and there's no darkness where there is light, and I serve a good God, and even though I'm experiencing pain and sorrow in certain sectors of my life, I know that God is good and God has gone before and God will make a way. And I've read this history, and I know that the God of yes and amen remains the God of yes and amen. Enemy, you don't get to stop me from going on the journey that I'm about to go on. You don't get to stop me. You don't have a choice in it. You think you're holding the line, and I'm saying, no, you're not. You are not God. God is I am. There is nothing, nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which means there is nothing that can separate us from who God is, which means there is nothing that can separate us from the promises that God gives to his people. Now remember, we've said all the way through this series, we've said you don't get to escape being human just because you know the healer, right? You've got to lean into your adoration and not get sucked into your addiction. You got to make sure you do humility in teams, not ego in teams. You know, both those positions need backers. But friends, when you're groaning and you're growing come together, God is glorified. Yeah. We want God to be glorified through our lives. So I'm going to pray with you right now. I want you to believe with me that God is going to do something good in your life today, right now. Even if it's just to remind you of what he's got you through to get you to where he's going right now. Remember Moses, 3 times, could have been dead. Wasn't stood fearless before Pharaoh and said, I've been told to deliver this message and I will deliver this message with absolute passion, with absolute conviction. Friends, some of you need to move to that place of repentance today and say, there's stuff coming between me and God, and I can't get to where I'm going because I'm letting sin get in the way. Why don't you take time? And maybe you're the kind of person that struggles to pray out loud, God, forgive me of my sin. One of the things I've done in the past is written it down on a piece of paper and then taken a match and burnt it. Do something to allow your heart to understand what is happening next. But friends, I believe with all my heart that you serve the same God, the same great I am that Moses and Aaron and all of the elders of Israel did. You serve the same great I am that came against Pharaoh and won. You serve the same great I am that has kept the church of Jesus Christ going for a couple of millennia now. You serve the same great I am that changed your friend's life and your other friend. You know, you're talking to your small group. Ask people their stories. Ask them what God has gotten them through to get to where they are now. But this morning, or today or tonight, whenever you're watching this, the challenge is to focus your adoration. Oh, come, let us adore him. Bring your adoration to the King and stop focusing it on yourself. Because staring in the mirror each day and saying, I don't like who this is, or I don't like what's happening to me, doesn't help you. In fact, that's a cycle that's a downward spiral. You need to lift your spirit, yeah? Bring your prayers, bring your requests, as Stuart Marie did for us earlier, to the King. Just lay them at his feet. He is a just God who hears our prayers and responds. And as we've read in this chapter, there's plenty of the human story that doesn't make sense to us because we just compare it to our own human experience and it doesn't quite make sense to us. But he is a just God and he will have his way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way to life without truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth is, God is good, but God is also holy. And he follows through. You just need to catch that wave. A mighty hand will compel you. And I just pray that mighty hand is compelling you today. As you hear this message, I pray that your heart is being moved. I pray that your spirit's being lifted. I pray that you can look at your circumstances around you and understand that there's a different view you can take. Moses' life was one of struggle and one of pain. He was a refugee. He was a prince. He was a farmer. He was a prophet. He was all of those things. And we look at that and we get the Charlton Heston kind of vibe of him standing there mightily with fire coming from heaven and stone tablets. But that was like one day of his life. What's God taking you through so that you can grow into who he needs you to be? Where's the line that you're going to draw? And I pray this morning that you draw a line that says, enemy, no further. You don't get to try and take any more ground in my life because you have that authority. God has given you that authority to push the enemy back. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Trust in God and let him do something great in your life. Father God, I pray for everybody who's watching right now. I pray that something that has been sung or prayed or said would strike at the heart of who we are, that we would be reminded of your grace, of your glory, of your mercy, of your goodness. Lord, I pray that the chasm between confession and repentance would be bridged, that we would trust you with our lives, that we would confess and repent of those things that have come between us and heaven. And you would lead us in paths of righteousness for your own name's sake. We thank you for this history that we're reading. We thank you for the story of Moses and Aaron and all of the people of Israel that went through this journey so that we could read it, understand it, and understand that you are a God that can move entire nations. If you can move a nation, you can move an individual. Move us this morning. Move us closer to your heart. Pray this in and through the mighty name of Jesus, the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen.